You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and welcome to You're the Man Now, Dog, the improv, a conversation podcast, the Patreon podcast with me, Dan Lippert, and my best friend, Ryan Rosenberg.
Yes, yes. Hello, guys. How's everybody doing this fine morning?
Or afternoon.
Afternoon, or evening, or good night.
Yes.
How's everybody doing this good night? How are you, Dan?
I'm chilling, baby. Not a lot going on over here. Just, you know, already cooped up because of COVID. And then we added some apocalyptic fires and smoke and smog. And so just kind of in the house indefinitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to stay in the house because the air quality is bad. But then I realize, like, well, where do I think the air in the house comes from?
Yeah.
Outside.
I wonder how much of outside air we're breathing.
I think my house is probably pretty good at keeping most of the like ash outside, but surely the smoke is pervasive.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I saw a little graphic that was just like the whole West Coast has unhealthy air right now. Like it's not breathable, good, whatever.
It's not normal, everybody.
No, pretty scary.
A whole coast of a country shouldn't be on fire, and it shouldn't be okay just because the perception is some of those people are liberal.
What do you think is the – do you think it's like a social problem that there are so many fires?
No, I think it's global warming. Right. It's drier, and I think – I mean, this – we are now beyond my knowledge, but I think it's like government resources put towards preparing for fires. Fighting fires. I read an article like last year that I barely remember that was like that we need to put like hundreds of billions of dollars more funding into preparing for fires because they're going to be huge disasters. And it's possible, like with that station fire that was such a disaster, there were like reports and everything saying like how to deal with it. And it was just like, no, that's okay. Right. Just the way our system is set up, I think we don't deal with problems until they are catastrophic.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm certainly it's not scary. Doing anything about it other than not setting fires outside.
Right. Right. Yeah. Fire is just so scary. It's like not a thing we can control, really. Like the preparedness, I think you're right about for sure. But it's once it's happening, it's like, holy shit, this is like a nature thing.
Yeah.
And that's what's so scary about it is that it's not a human fix, you know?
Yeah, it feels like it's the purge, but what's being purged is humanity and the main character is Earth. It's like...
Yeah, I think that's about right. It is scary. It is scary.
It just feels very like... It feels so normal already. You know what I mean? It's like...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... For me, I'm not like staying in a gymnasium because my stuff burned down or my life isn't disrupted because I work from home already. So it's it's very odd.
Right. Right. Ugh. Well, good morning and good evening, everybody.
And don't forget good afternoon and good night.
Hope we're all finding a way to stay somewhat sane. It is just so scary. There's so much scary stuff going on.
It's
so hard to not be inundated every day.
But here's the good news. It's September 14th, which means as of yesterday, we have been doing You're the Man Now, Dog, for one whole Gregorian calendar year.
That's right. Well, the big year celebration, Dan.
The big year celebration. If you don't know where you've been, but we're here, it's a year. Get used to it.
This is truly the big check-in.
This is the biggest, yeah.
Truly the big one-year check-in.
The big check-in-iversary, if you will.
That's right. How cool! I'm so proud of what we've made.
Yeah,
both us and all the patrons listening. It's like grown in such a cool way that I couldn't have anticipated.
I do feel that way too. Of like, I expect everything I do to either be like wildly successful or fail. like the extremes, and it's nice to just like make a thing and it continue to get better, in my opinion, and people like continue to find it and enjoy it in new ways, which is great.
Right. It's just been a nice thing to like do slowly but surely every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I suffer from the same stuff of like very black and white, 0 or 100 type thinking. And it's like, you can't really do that with this, which is nice. It's like, well, you got to make another one this week. Got to do another one Monday. Got to do another one Monday. And it's like, you just got to keep on trucking. And it's been a nice little life metaphor for me. It's been a nice bit of stability and joy and fun. And it's been really cool.
And kind of exactly what we talked about when we started it is like, it will be hard to start, and in a year we will be happy we have done it for a year, and so on and so forth. And it's like that same life metaphor with whatever the thing is, you know, learning to play the bass guitar.
Right. I also remember talking about like making it for the people who like it, not for like the fear that people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very like proud of that we have like not a huge following, but a passionate one of people who really feel like they enjoy it. And I feel connected to all those people a little bit, you know, because we talk about ourselves and our feelings and ideals. And it's cool that that people want to stick around for that.
Yeah. And we get
I thought it was just going to be goofing, you know.
It's and we move beyond goofing. We still goof.
We goof. I can goof. I told Dan I could goof at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. It's so easy to turn on, especially for you, to just become a goof.
Exactly. It's almost hard for me to stay serious. Oh, interesting.
And one thing I appreciate is we have a not insignificant amount of people who hit us up over our Patreon messages or I don't think we really get emails, but most of Patreon messages are like on social media and tell us in what ways it's been meaningful for them and like going through hard times and just either having a way to turn your brain off or to connect with people who are like feeling the same thing. And I appreciate everyone that reaches out. It's very meaningful to me to hear that it's that cliche thing of like, it makes it worth it that one person finds it meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's not just like discardable crap.
Yeah.
it's like actually connecting or giving someone that feeling of comfort feels nice.
Yeah.
Because we're all sort of looking for that, I think, you know?
That's true.
And however you find it, it's great. It's wonderful.
So thanks, everybody. Happy 1 year.
Yeah, thanks. Happy one year to us and you.
What's the 1 year anniversary gift? Do we know?
Big cash.
Big cash.
Big cash?
Yeah, for those of you married folks out there, is that what you do on a year? Is cash gifts? Cash?
I think bad husbands give cash on the first anniversary. No, I don't know. I don't know those things. I should. Paper? Is it paper?
Maybe. 1 year anniversary.
I think paper sounds right. Or gold. Heavy gold.
Paper, you're right.
Paper.
The modern gift is a clock. Huh?
Because clocks have been around for a while.
Recently, the new invention of the clock has reshaped the way anniversary gifts work.
This article sucks, Bob. Don't submit this.
I got to 2,000 words.
Not the point. Not the point to fill the page. Well, actually, we do just got to fill the page.
All right, print it. Thank you.
Let's go home early today. Why do I care?
We write articles about anniversary gifts. This place sucks anyway.
What do I write at? Marie Claire? I don't know.
Something on, I'm sure it's owned by Condé Nast.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, of course. We haven't really planned this one, but this is a thought I had, and feel free to shut it down. Mm-hmm. What if we do the big, like you said, the big check-in for the whole year? Our overall well-being of the year? Mm-hmm. Our general sleep of the year, our watch of the year, our meal of the year. Could we get those? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should think about them for 10 seconds and then give our answers.
They're great. 10 in and 10 out.
Well, I think we got to start with the OWB, the overall well-being.
Yes, you know me.
Yeah, what do you think? You want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
For the year, I can go. I guess I started talking. I don't know, unless you have one.
Well, I think it depends. We got to contextualize it. Overall well-being, you know, COVID started in the middle of this.
Mm-hmm.
So So worse, you know.
It is the worst year of our lives. Like, as far as the context of the world, absolutely.
Yeah, of life, maybe. Of recent life.
Yes.
Yes, but that notwithstanding, I think we're talking about OWB of the podcast or of us in relation to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say personal even within that year. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm really excited about the podcast and the OWB is good about that, but I also need to account for COVID and everything.
Yes.
You know.
I would say in the true, I'll make a reverse shit sandwich. I'll start with the bad, put the good in the middle, and maybe we'll end with the bad, or maybe it'll be open-faced. But like you said, it's a terrible year for everybody on Earth. I think, like, we know what the things are. Like, COVID, the multiple videotape killings of Black people, or, like, that have just not gotten answers, even though there have been massive protests. I think the fires, the election coming up, all that shit is just the beginning. I think if I can spin it in a positive way for me and hopefully for a lot of people, it has also been a year of like the bad things coming up to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and like facing them, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think that's a thing of like, we've talked about a lot, but the beginning of COVID and quarantine was a time to not have any distractions. So you have to think about yourself and where you are and if you want, how you want to deal with that. And I think that kept happening in all sorts of different ways. So that I would say like my overall growth is pretty high as far as that well-being goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then in relation to the podcast, same thing. I think like we continue to learn how to communicate with each other, how to like run a business together and how to make fun stuff that's constantly like interesting and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I will put it, you know, at a 7 for growth, but then weighted for the worst year of human life since I was born, a 2.
Right. Yeah. Great. So you're about a 4.5.
Yeah.
I think that was very well said. Yeah, absolutely. It's been so crazy that it's hard to compare it to last year because it's just not comparable. It's just different. It's so wholly different that, it's hard to even think about. But I will say mine is up. Mine is, and this podcast has definitely been a big part of it. Like a year ago, I was like hustling as an improv coach and like teaching sketch. And those things were fun, but they're hard. You have to like run around town and go to other people's living rooms. And it's just like not a very fun job. You know, I didn't really enjoy it. And I got to put a lot of that aside for this. And so it's been really fun to transition from like talking about what I know to other people to like doing it for myself. So it's been a big year of growth in that way for me as well of like, I think I was sort of on pause for a while, like coaching instead of doing, you know, and like not sure if I wanted to do anything, not even sure if we wanted to do this podcast or whatever. And I'm so glad that we said yes to it and have continued to say yes to it. And just like see what happens, you know, it feels like a little bit more faith in my department. I have a little bit more like willingness to do and like faith in myself that I didn't have maybe a year ago.
Nice.
So I feel really good in that way that like, yeah, I think I just was like, I don't know, scared a year ago, like more scared of where I was, which is ironic because the world has definitely gotten scarier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the external circumstances have gotten worse, but I think like internally I've become much more healthy and self-aware and self-assured and I'm like searching for validation elsewhere less, which feels very nice. Maybe that's too personal, but that's what it feels like for me. Like this podcast has really been an uplifting confidence builder for me that I think has been wonderful. And then also getting to like do it with you, with my friend. And like, I think we were both a little bit scared to strike out on our own and do some of that stuff. And it has been really cool to like try it and having it seemingly worked really well and continue to work and make us feel good. So I'm excited about it. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I definitely like feel that confidence, and that rubs off, I think, of like that, like you're saying, that the outside world is scarier, but like to be less scared of your inner life,
right?
Or of the things you can control, is very nice.
Right. Yeah. That's been huge. And it's led to cool stuff. It's led to like collaborations with people that I admire and respect and want to work with and stuff like that. And, new business stuff that I'm really excited about, and, you know, just stuff that's like, yeah, I felt so much more like on hold a year ago. Like, what am I going to do? And this has been a really cool like thing for, definitely I'll speak for myself, for me, of just like, yeah, being able to try and not being so afraid to try. So that's been a really cool thing. So thank you to everybody who supports, because I think that's been a big yes in that department, you know, like trying something I'm scared of and then getting like a lot of like, good job trying. We like that.
Right.
You know, rather than like, oh, nobody's going to listen, which was like my big fear.
Right.
Know? Or like nobody cares or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, great. Like this is enough. This works. This feels good.
Thanks for proving us wrong.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And giving me the confidence to not think I'm wrong at the beginning anymore.
Yeah. well, that's great.
Yeah.
It is so funny. It also, yeah, I think to keep it to the podcast, because like depending on the day, I'm at a zero overall well-being based on the world. So I think
100%.
That is like, it has been such a good time. I recommend it to anyone. If there's a thing you want to do with someone you enjoy doing things with,
right,
do it.
Right. But I mean, imagine if we didn't have the podcast and everything in the world was still happening.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't know how I was going to make any money. I wouldn't know so many things that let me feel some of the levels of comfort that I feel during this extremely tumultuous time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's been such a like floor to stand on for me, you know, like between other work or even like as other things ebb and flow, this has been a very nice like weekly steady thing of like hanging out with my friend and sharing with people and also like a job. So it's been really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, it's like I feel a nice little high after every record with our friends too.
Yes,
that's totally. Like so nice to, it's the an excuse to see people we wouldn't normally be seeing all the time and right. to laugh with them and like get away from our brains for an hour.
Right. And even like the COVID stuff and being stuck inside and doing the podcast, it's been cool to learn that like you can be creative with people over the internet.
Yeah.
Like when we were recording in our office, it was great, but we all had to like meet at the office at the same time and scheduling was a little more difficult and you didn't know who you could even get to schedule. And now it's like, it kind of has opened up this whole new cool creative thing via Zoom and the internet and whatever. And like, maybe this is not the end cool thing, but it feels like a shining a light on a new possibility, which feels cool.
I like that. Yeah. So that's our overall well-being, everybody.
Yes. And also low. from the other stuff, but that's just, I'm trying to be optimistic, I guess.
Yeah. What else do we do?
Sleep.
Yeah. I mean, this year, how did you sleep?
I think I ended up sleeping better this year than I did the year before. I think the year before I was up till like 3 or 4 a.m. more often, which I think was a clear sign of some depression and like aimlessness, you know. And I wouldn't say I'm like have a really healthy sleep schedule now, but it's much closer.
Yeah.
It's much closer to like midnight to 9 than it was from like 4 to 10.
Yeah.
Which is just like not enough sleep and the wrong hours. Now I'm getting closer to the right hours and to the amount. So I feel good about that.
Good.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know that I'm consistent. I have a consistent answer. Like I think my well-being is a little more tumultuous than I would have thought in the sense of like, I think I'm always at a 6 and I'm kind of like, I have blips or whatever, but I think like you check in with me on a Monday and a Thursday and you'll get two different answers. Like 2 months ago, I was staying up till 3 a.m. playing Red Dead and like, you know, sleeping till noon. Now I'm like going to sleep at a much healthier time, waking up. The garden helped because I'd be like excited to get up and water stuff and have to do it before the sun was too hot and all that shit. Right. So that helped give me like a thing, a in the darkest way of saying it, a reason to get out of bed in the morning. But like yeah. truly like that type of stuff helps.
Excuse me. I'm Gesundheit. So sorry. I think I'm allergic to my own microphone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you're allergic to bullshit.
Allergic to bullshit, Dan. Your garden sucks. I've seen this guy's garden, dude. It's puny.
Okay. Well, I've got a big fat Persian in there, and I mean cucumber.
Yeah, well, your eggplant, it's limp.
That's true. That is a fact where I'm having eggplant issues. Everybody knows true? It. I mean, only of the like six I planted, only one is really growing. One sprouted and is kind of not living it up.
Do you like eggplant? Are you excited to eat eggplant?
I like eggplant because I like to make little like stir fries and whatnot with it. So yeah, I am.
Yeah, good.
It's one of those things that I've like learned the things that are a little healthier that you can also just throw in the oven and they taste kind of good.
Right.
Like with a couple things on them that they totally. Soak up sauce pretty well or flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess my garden's all right, Ryan. I did get a bunch of ladybugs and they ran away.
Beautiful.
They ran away.
Not yeah. enough bugs to eat.
That's what they say. And also the thing I got said to release them like at a cooler time, which I did. Mm. But then I read online, you're supposed to release them at night so they don't leave. Like apparently they won't leave at night. And I released them during the day still.
They can't see better options.
Yeah, maybe that is. Yeah.
Addicted to the bugs.
It's like dating in a dark bar. You don't.
That's right. Oh, God. This is everybody. Okay. 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 I got to figure something out here.
Yeah. I got to stay here and figure it out. There's nowhere else for me.
Yeah. It must be like this outside everywhere else.
But sleep wise, let's see. I mean, here's the big reveal on sleep for me. If I wash my sheets and make my bed, I'll have the best night of sleep of my life. Mm-hmm. I just can't get on a good bed making schedule. It is so hard to reach the corner of my bed that right. it's just never going to happen for me until I.
Because you're in the corner, you can't get around both sides.
That's correct. Yeah.
Same.
I need like one of those. I need a master bedroom.
Don't we all?
Absolutely.
We
my
really
bed's in the middle. I got a thing on both sides of my bed. Can you? Kidding me?
Two water choices.
Yes.
I can roll over and grab a water anywhere.
The bad news is my pillows are falling off left and right on it. If you're doing that,
that's you do have the trade off. I thought the other day of like I almost need. Maybe this is weird. I mean, it is weird. I almost need like an adult crib. Like I almost need like a bed that goes up around the sides and is padded,
uh-huh.
like a body. Like if I could have a bed with a rim that had that was a body pillow everywhere. I would love that because I like to lean on something.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to just be in the middle of the ocean, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a feeling, the open feeling is almost scary. Like yeah, I need to know that I'm walled in a little bit.
I agree. And for me, I sleep on my side often, but now that I'm a large man, it hurts. And so I need I sleep on my side, but then like the middle folds in, like my shoulders fold in and it hurts my like sternum and back. So I need like a body pillow to like keep my body in the air almost.
Yeah.
What I need is like a maternity pillow, like a pregnancy pillow, like that big horseshoe thing.
Yeah.
But I would settle for an adult crib. And I will say I have any other weird issues. These don't speak to anything other weird about feeling like a pregnant or baby or
needing to be taken care of in the crib, if needing to feel safe. Needing to feel
I just
protected.
Need like my bed to be a crib and I need to be checked on when I go down and when I'm brought up.
Oh, and also, is there like a service or something that changes your diet before you? Because I just can't.
Yeah.
Do it.
How can I still drink out of a Oh, I'm kidding, guys. I drink water.
I think for comedy, Brian, can we bleep?
And when Dan said it, too.
Yes. Yeah, we're bleeping for the whole episode.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. Oh, it's always nice to have a laugh.
Oh, my God. Are you having a laugh or what?
I heard one of these very wise things where they say, like, it never hurts when you're laughing.
No, that's interesting. Because I got a hernia from laughing.
Well, but it didn't hurt until you got the hernia, right? And then you probably stopped laughing. You probably weren't laughing that hard about the hernia.
I kept laughing. I laughed through the hernia. It hurt a lot. It still hurts to this day.
I guess that thing was bullshit. Never mind.
I was thinking about those, a little bit, those things that are like a little bit meme-y, you know? Mm-hmm. Not Drew Carey Show, but meme dash Y.
Right.
And like, there's also, I follow a couple of the Sopranos cast members. So in my Discover page, I get like people who think they're making badass Sopranos memes. Our friend Joel just sent me one that was Tony Soprano was Jack Bauer trying to save 9/11. And with those memes, I always wonder, or I was wondering, like, does some guy make that and send it to his friends? And they're like, this is so cool, dude. This is awesome. Like, because when we make little joke things, we like laugh. We send them to each other and we laugh and we like love them. But like, do those people have that happening too? Is there a whole other world of comedy that's like, this is fucking so cool?
Right. Well, I sometimes forget, like, we have such an outlet for comedy and being funny and like feeling seen that way. You know what I mean? But if you have no outlet and you have a genius meme, I'm sure you'd be like, oh my God, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is my time. This works. I got to put, you know what I mean? Like, it would almost feel weird if we were all doing memes and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. But
this is our meme, baby.
This is our meme. So. What could it be? I love it.
That feeling when you're choking.
Brian, go ahead and hit us with a couple of memes. We're going to throw you some faces. Hit us with some memes. A
couple of memes right in the middle,
They're probably all that feeling when.
Yeah. I'm out of faces.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That feeling when you're stuffed. That feeling when you ate too much pasta at the family dinner.
What about too much milk? Bleep it.
Bleep both of those.
So that is where that's our overall sleep. Ryan needs a big baby crib.
My overall sleep. We do have to be honest on this podcast always. And since we're talking about overall sleep, I do have to say I was an hour late to this recording because I was sleeping until the time of the recording. So I guess I was lying about being up and ready.
And it's 7 p.m. right now.
That's okay. Yeah. I got a nice friend who was able to wait for an hour.
I got nothing to do. But yeah, it happens. It was I will say it wasn't because you slept in. It was because you misremembered the time of the recording.
Right.
Right.
I planned to get up an hour early for the recording and missed that estimation by an hour.
Yes. You were you're still on Arizona time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we got to move on to favorite meal.
Meal of the year.
And favorite meal of the year and watch of the year.
Watch of the year.
Which I might have to jump straight into watch of the year.
Okay.
In a surprising twist, because this is not typically my genre, I think my watch of the year is Invisible Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last I guess movie I saw in theaters, or second to last.
Right. I think we saw that together, yeah?
We did, yeah. We saw it right before we did that show with Demi and Reka at UCB.
That's right. That's right. Which, maybe that's why it was my favorite. I've since watched it two more times on the projector in my backyard, which has felt, like another cinematic experience. I know. And it just is great. I love that movie.
Spooky really at cool. night, huh?
Really spooky, but just really well made. I think that movie is like so good at being a movie. You know what I mean? Like the idea is obviously not brand new. It's a remake, but it's just like shot really well and the tension is done really well. And it's really, really fun.
Yeah. That's a good, yeah. I mean,
and Elizabeth Moss is incredible.
She's great. Elizabeth, in
right?
It.
Yeah.
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 It's such a well directed movie that like the tension is always there nonstop.
Right.
That's
and it's like
one.
Subtle and just, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that day I remember, because it was like, or when was it? Late February, maybe, when we saw it. And so it was like COVID was being discussed. We went to a mall that day, and it was like, I wonder how busy the mall is going to be. Are people going to stop going? Are they going to be in masks? I remember it was like just starting to kind of happen.
I don't remember that stuff.
Yeah. I remember like in the back of my mind, like being like, yeah, it looks like the mall is still busy. People don't care.
Right.
So
right.
Then that's
I also, the case full now. Disclosure, watched that movie again last night. So okay. Maybe that's fresh why it's mind. so extremely fresh. But yeah.
Because it's not within the genre that you normally talk about. What do you think it is about it that you like so much? Like, do you think you also connect to the story in some sort of way or anything like that? Or is it just a really well-made movie?
I think it's just that it's a really well-made movie. Like, that may be a weird thing about me. Like, I often care less about, like, the story or the content of something and care more about, like, how it's made, if that makes sense. Like, it's shot very cinematically and it just like fits a movie really well. There's no like gimmicks or any weird stuff. It's just, I think it like uses the cinematic medium very well, which I went to film school, so I'm really into that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I try to not be pretentious about it, but often I think that is what I like about movies is like, I care less about the story being new and more about like, did the director make this 2 hours really a good experience?
Yeah.
You know? and that is what I thought it was. And I think it was also, they found such a cool, clever way to like take the old Invisible Man thing and make it very modern.
Yeah.
And like very of the now and like, yeah, stuff that we're talking about societally, but like telling that old story in this new way with our new language and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Even just, this is the broadest, dumbest take, but like, it feels like it in my, like, somewhere in my brain, there's that conversation that feels like kind of hacky and popular. That's like, what superhero power would you want to be? Oh, invisible, so I could watch people shower and stuff. Like, and it's always been kind of like, yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Like, from like a guy's perspective. And then it's like, the first time the movie made it be about what is wrong with that idea.
Right.
And how that is scary.
Yeah, totally. The whole movie's kind of about like, well, what it's about and everything, but also about like gaslighting and like, you know, making somebody feel like their reality is false. And like they talk about narcissism a lot and all these things that feel like sort of on the tip of what everyone is talking about societally.
Anyway. Yeah.
And rather than just like, isn't it crazy that he's invisible?
Right.
Which is like what Hollow Man feels like. And it is just about him like staring at a woman while she's changing or whatever. And it is like, who cares about this?
Yeah, this is one about feels like more prescient. Psychologically torturing her because she took his power from him.
Right, right.
She's in that movie, it is like on her and she goes through a full mental breakdown. That must have been so hard to do. I can't even imagine crying one time in one take.
right. I also think it would be really fun though, because it's like, it would be so intimidating to have to be the person that actually does it for sure, but also really fun that like everybody there wants you to go there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like you have full creative license to like fully dig into whatever that is, whether it's the character for you or the performance, or there's something very cool about that opportunity. And she just fucking totally seizes it and like jumps on it. It's really cool.
She's great.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have a watch of the year? Also basketball. All basketball too.
Yeah. The sport of basketball was a good watch for me all year. And the thing, I'll go with my first instinct, and maybe if I thought about it deeper, I could come up with a smarter one. But I feel like I Think You Should Leave kind of took us all by storm, me included, and was like a very refreshing comedy, sketch comedy that is kind of the mentality of like, why can't I watch more things that are just funny? And I feel it more and more. Like now when I sit down and I want to watch something, it's like you either have to watch 20 minutes of crap or every comedy is actually an hour long drama. Like nobody makes good, just funny comedy. And that's a broad statement anymore. And you could prove me wrong. But I felt like that was like so refreshingly, like aggressively funny.
Totally. I can't even believe that was this year because I've watched it probably 20 times through at least.
And I might be wrong. It could have been like before September, but it feels like this year for me.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's probably my actual. but this was this other one I liked it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sketch?
For a while it was definitely the Tim Heidecker jazz guy playing celebrity one.
Howie.
Yeah. That character.
You guys really embarrassed me in front of Howie.
I mean, it's like my favorite kind of character is just like...
I mean, he is Todd Padre.
Yeah.
100%.
Got a lot of Padre going on. So that one's up there. I mean, it's hard to beat Car Ideas.
It's tough. It's really tough.
I think it changed the landscape of comedy for...
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Also that the star of the show is sort of the straight man.
Yeah.
It's just... The whole thing is so unexpected for such a simple sketch.
Yes.
And again, that show, it's like, it's about how that show is made. That's a focus group sketch where two of the guys get in a fight or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But how they chose to make all the decisions that ended up that's how the sketch was told is so funny.
Yeah.
Casting that Ruben Rabassa guy, genius's choice in comedy in the last 10 years.
100%. I think that's a good point about that show and that sketch and like what you're saying overall is like how much more important voice is than new or smart or right. It's like what do you communicate your voice to me?
Right.
Is the most fun.
Right. Totally.
That was great.
And especially like to get like more highfalutin or whatever. If you're a creator, that's your job. Your job is not to like make stuff that everybody else has already made. Your job is to like create your thing.
Yeah.
You know? And it feels like they did that so much with that show.
Oh yeah.
It's not like any of the other sketch shows.
It is
so fresh.
Yeah.
It feels like.
It is like
and also regular. You know what I mean? It's like they didn't reinvent the wheel, but because of that, it's somehow fresh. You know what I mean? It's not all different. It's like the same that you would expect, but each choice is just specific.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
And there's like an element to me of it that's like, I think I'm really somewhere. I'm like broadly mad at all the weird little like things we've been told as people who do sketch trying to make money of just like, this is never going to get made. Like it's got to fit into this box, this type of thing. And to see that like, no, the problem isn't sketch needs to fit into these other boxes. It's like, just make sketch. Good, funny comedy. Don't try to make like 10 episodes where the sketches weave together and you tell a story and whatever. It's like, no, TV already has that. We have good writing and pilot and sitcoms. Like, why can't we just have funny sketch?
Right. Yeah.
I think that was freeing to watch.
Totally. Like, yeah, it was freeing to watch someone just make a straightforward sketch show. Mm-hmm. They were like, this is worth it. This is worth it. And I'm going to prove it to you. And they did. I like that.
And my other watch of the year, for all my cinephiles out there, it had to have been Portrait of a Lady on Fire. A wonderful love story in a different language. A beautiful movie.
Didn't understand a word of it.
I highly recommend it with subtitles, actually. But that was the actual last movie I saw before quarantine. And I actually did that probably is up there for me. As far as like things that moved me this year. Mm-hmm. I would recommend that. It's on Hulu, I think. Meal of the year? I know mine.
Ooh, okay. Hit me with it.
I think we might have talked about it on the air, but at San Francisco Sketch Fest, we went back to Lolinda. Oh, yes. Which is where you, John Mackey, and I had our meal of my life about 4 years ago in the Mission District, and it did not disappoint again.
Right.
We went with, I think, exclusively people who have been on this podcast, actually.
All the buds.
All the buds. And it was just like,
That was a beautiful meal.
It was great friends. Had like an hour waiting for our table or a half hour. We were like, had a drink, chatted a little bit, went downstairs, sat at the table, got a bunch of meat, had a couple drinks, and then got the check. And we're like, oh, this was like $40 a person?
Right.
I've never had a better experience
right.
than having a blast and then realizing it wasn't going to cost me an arm and a leg.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe, because it felt so luxurious. We mm-hmm. like, it felt like we were living it up, you know what I mean? And then it was like, oh, we could have ordered like literally double what we did.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, I mean, not just throw away the money and the food, but I would have tried some other things for sure.
For sure. I would have gotten another lengua. We love the lengua.
We got to go back. Honestly, COVID needs to be done and we need to go to that restaurant.
Yeah. I might start.
If there's a big celebration, I would literally drive to that as the destination.
As the like COVID celebration?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go now. Let's see if they're open. Sidewalk dining.
Big open air building. No, closed air building.
Right. That's a good one. That's a really good one. That might have to be the one. I mean, ooh, that was delicious. I also like that place too because it's like not just like meat and potatoes. They like do some interesting stuff with their food. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes my favorite meal is just like the best steak I ate all year or whatever. But then it's just like, and onion rings and a Caesar salad. And you're like, oh, that wasn't that memorable, actually, you know?
Yeah, like the I mean, we've talked about it before. Steak restaurant sides, I think, are great, fun. I think they could step it up a little bit with the creativity.
Oh, they're criminal. They're criminal. They're living in the past. They're like, they're pretending that we haven't all been watching the Food Network for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me with these fat French fries and onion rings and cream spinach as the options?
Oh, by the way.
Like, what are you talking about?
Spinach and cream is not $18 anywhere on earth.
Spinach is literally $3 for a box. I know what it costs. That's what pisses me off about going to restaurants. Here, I'm going straight into stand-up.
Let's go.
I know what an avocado costs, okay? When you charge me $4 for a quarter of an avocado, come on.
I mean,
you charge me $5 to put an egg on the burger, it's $5 for the carton of eggs. Meme.
That feeling when you want to be memed.
Meme. From now on in the show, at any time, you can go meme and hit a face. Lolinda, yeah, that's the one. That's the meal of the year.
I wonder if any of our listeners have had Lolinda. Any of our Bay Area listeners? Have you tried Lolinda? Let us know if you also liked it. Because a weird thing about that place to me is I never hear about it from anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it so much, but you would think it would pop up on a list or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Isn't it funny that our favorite place we've been to twice, but don't pursue to going to more places like that?
Right. There's one of those in LA for sure, right?
Yeah, most definitely. LA's got amazing food all over the place. But
yeah,
it takes work and effort. But it was also on vacation.
It's something about it being
special. Like, that's also why it was so great. It's like it was a vacation meal with our friends in a different city, like bringing all the fun we normally have to a new exciting atmosphere. It's a recipe for a win every time.
Yeah. I don't know what just happened, but while you were talking, I was like, I'm going to have In-N-Out for dinner.
I know the feeling, man. When In-N-Out strikes, it happens. It's hard.
There's no. I think it was that, like, I was like, yeah, like In-N-Out I used to love, but it used to be the most special place, but now I can go whenever I want.
Right.
Is it that special? I was like, I want to go there.
Yeah, tonight. I have to go right now. I hear you. In-N-Out is. Now, what do you think? I mean, we're getting away from the check-in. What do you think about In-N-Out versus Shake Shack?
Oh, the Burger Wars.
Do you even entertain it? I don't even entertain it.
It's Coke versus Pepsi. It is a joke.
But
if Pepsi costs like $9 a cup.
Yeah, exactly. If you like Pepsi, hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to hang out with you, but but more power to you.
Hey, enjoy your Pepsi and your $11 Shake Shack burger.
I hope you have a great life eating crap and being broke. I hope you enjoy it.
I will say, In-N-Out makes it hard to defend. With those fries.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I will also say I like the fries.
I like the fries, but I would never staunchly defend the fries. I think
I don't stand the fries, but I like them. I think they're a great side to the burger.
Yeah.
Which I think is the point of the fries. If you have fries that overshadow the burger, kind of annoying for
me. What happened to your burger?
What? Actually, why am I not even talking about the burger? Is it maybe suck? No, I do love Shake Shack. It's great. But don't even come to me about it being in the same world as In-N-Out.
There was a time when I could have liked Shake Shack better because my experience with it was when I was in New York, we would go to the one in the park, whatever that park is called.
Yeah.
Not Battery? Shed no. Park, but
right.
There's that tall building overlooks
like
it.
The Flatiron, right?
Flatiron,
right,
that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Why did I think it was Shed?
I've never heard of that.
I was thinking of the fish I ate in the Shed Aquarium in Chicago. But it's in a park. You like get the shake, you get your burger, you get a beer with it, you're on vacation, and like that's a great experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
But once they start opening up everywhere in LA, you know, I'll go to a Shake Shack, I'll get a burger there, and I'll be like, oh, that was nice. Unfortunately, I've just got 30 calls from my accountant asking what happened to my bank account.
Sit down prices at fast food quality.
That's exactly right. And In-N-Out, I'm leaving In-N-Out $10.
Mm-hmm.
Shake Shack, you know, maybe 20.
It's your classic LA versus New York. It's different. It's just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People in New York are smart and cool, and people in LA are nice. And take your pick. You know what I mean? People in LA do what makes sense. You eat a simple burger, it's cheap, and it tastes better than the stupid one from New York that you think is really smart.
Enjoy your Subway, your hot Subway burger, losers.
Yeah, that's true. What else? What do we have? Watch of it? Meal of it?
Meal.
Overall dub?
Overall well-being. I feel like there's a fifth one that we're leaving out. There's obviously the one we always end on.
Of course.
But are we leaving out big share. Something before the big share? So we were doing like Scream Time, but Scream Time can suck an egg, I think.
Yeah, I'm done with Scream Time. Scream Time was when I first felt very cooped up.
Yeah.
It was a good indicator of how crazy I felt. But now that that's the normal, it doesn't work anymore.
Who needs Scream Time when you got meme time? Meme.
Oh, meme. 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 Meme.
Meme.
Meme.
Who's this?
Meme.
Meme. Love if you're just listening to this at home.
Yeah, really.
Just hearing the word.
It's a pretty visual medium.
Yeah, well, picture it.
Memeum.
Use Memeum. Welcome to my Memeum. This is all dedicated to information about our favorite character, Mimi from the Drew Carey Show. And you can check off that box. We mentioned her twice in an episode. And by we, I mean I.
Welcome to the Memeum. That's our new podcast. And it is short.
It is short. And let's just say we put lipstick on it.
Yeah.
And eyeshadow. Yeah. So I guess that leaves us with our big share of the year.
Of the year.
So wow. That means it's got to be a pretty big share because it's a thing about this year that we want to share.
Well, and we have so much that has happened and that,
well, we've
and
dealt
that we
with
feel, and that we've been thinking about, that we've been, you know, ruminating on.
Things we've lost, things we've gained, heartbreak,
right.
Heartache, meme.
Right, meme.
Meme.
Right.
I like thoughtful meme.
Right, meme.
Meme.
TFW... You're thoughtful. Me. The big share. Well, I guess for me, I'll say I just got some new sandals that I'm really excited about.
That's big for you.
And they're comfy because your feet are what connect you to the ground.
Meme.
And so that's important, meme. I don't know. There's never going to be a big share. I'm walled up.
Yeah, for those of you that haven't guessed it yet, the big share is never going to happen.
Hey, so keep waiting. It ain't coming.
I got a memo for you and everyone who's tried to date me. I'm not opening up. Read it and weep. Literally
yeah,
weep.
Yeah, you are. You are. You no, are. We're opening. We're slowly opening and becoming more healthy and available.
We're morning glories. Or that's you right. Just have to wake us up and shine a light on us and we'll open
beautiful
up for
flowers.
You.
We're just a beautiful flower. A
beautiful flower. We just need someone to come pollinate us.
That's right.
Well,
Dan, this was another wonderful, wonderful check-in. Always good to feel revitalized by talking and laughing with my friend.
This was really nice. 365. Here's the 365 more. Oh, was this 366? Was it a leap year this year? 366 days?
Must have been. Every four.
Yeah, 2020. Leap year, election, and Olympics are always the same year, unless COVID happens.
Mm-hmm. Then we'll see.
Obviously, RIP leap year, one of the first victims of COVID.
Of course.
I don't know. Riff on with that. Me.
Let's riff. We were just at a nice ending, and let's riff for a little bit more.
I feel like you should have ended the episode, but instead you're looking let's for a riff. See.
Meme. Holding it wrong. Meme.
Yeah, that's good. What about meme?
I'll tell you what. I got to fix a couple things here.
Oh, meme.
Meme.
We think memes are just prop comedy, and I think they are.
I think so. Everybody thinks memes are clever. It's literally like the oldest, dorkiest jokes that are easy to send.
Yeah, but they speak to everyone. That's what's good about a meme is everyone right. understands what's happening with it.
Memes are dad jokes.
Yes.
Is that true?
I wouldn't look too deeply into it. All right, everybody. Well, stay tuned for the rest of September. We've got an episode for our Boss Hogs coming out with a couple special guests this Friday. And then the next Friday, two more special guests for our Big Dogs and Boss Hogs. So if you wanted to up your tier, give it a try. And if you haven't seen this, we have officially put out the announcement for signing up for your free mask. Patreon should have let you know about that and requested your address. If it doesn't have your address on file, if you'd like a mask, give us your address. We'll send you the mask and we will not, you won't be getting spam mail from us after that. We're not going to keep sending you letters or.
And what are we going to say? They have till the end of September to fill that thing out. We'll
closes
probably send
off
them
September 30th. Yeah.
Great.
And then we'll send them all of them October 1st. And I guarantee you'll have it by October 6th. That's the Lippert mask guarantee. If you don't get it by October 6th, we'll pay you back for however much you've given us on Patreon.
Okay, I'm not covering that. Well, thanks everybody for listening and supporting for this whole year. It's been a beautiful time for us. Meme.
Sorry, Ryan.
Looks like Picard or the other guy.
Meme head.
When Picard wants to look like the other guy. He's got big headphones.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Ryan.
Thanks
Sorry,
everybody for being nice here for the year. Really appreciate everybody's patronage and support and just listening, you know, feels cool to be not shouting jokes into the void. So thanks for being here and listening and being part of our little community. We really appreciate it. And that goes to you, Dan. Thanks for being part of my little community.
And thanks for being a part of my, Ryan. I appreciate it. Well, we love y'all. Now. Yeah. We'll see everybody this Friday with our next couple episodes. And as we say at the end of every episode,
meme.